fighting each other.
Are you introducing me?
Do you want me to? Everybody, this is Kim Shelby with First Kids. Tonight she's going to be teaching y'all. Thank you.
Oh, gosh. I am super glad you're here. What I have done, y'all come on in. By the way, if you want to get up and get snacks in the middle, I have really combined two different seminars that I went to, and it was on dealing with discipline issues and how we deal with it. So I love these funny quotes. So, like, y'all look at these, and I love the little guy, the skeleton guy. Teachers be like, I'm just going to wait till it's quiet. You ever felt that way? Because sometimes it never gets quiet. Or this one happens a lot, especially in my Bible study. It says, what does it say? It says, when a kid takes 15 minutes to read three verses in Sunday school, and then the teacher tells them to read it again, you're like, oh my goodness. That happens a lot. And then this one I love. You remember, anybody, what is this? What is this show? Different Strokes? Different Strokes. What you talking about, Willis? He says, dear teacher, I talk to everyone. Moving my seat will not help. No matter where you go. And there are some children that it's true. It doesn't matter where you move them. They will make friends with whoever. I said I taught school for 19 years and had this one little boy. And so we did move his seat all the time. I thought, I'm never going to find a place where he can't. He ended up talking to the poster on the wall. I was like, obviously, God just gave him the need to talk. So we finally found times where he could actually talk, and that made him feel better. So I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to tell me, why is managing behavior so tricky? Why do you think it's so tricky?
Because there's God-given ability in that kid, and if we don't handle it right, we can squelch it.
Okay, so you can squelch and squelch their spirit. What else, Brandy?
It's the same thing doesn't work for every kid.
Same thing doesn't work for every kid. Wouldn't it be nice if you had a classroom where every kid, if you did this, it solved the problem? And here's the deal. What I've learned, once you find out what works, it'll change.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that worked. It doesn't work. What else?
They have different personalities.
Different personalities.
Situations at home that they're coming from. So you can't fit every kid in the same box.
Okay, absolutely. So different personalities, different God-given gifts, different family situations. We don't know where our kids are coming from. We just don't know. One time we had, after Harvey, we had a little girl in first grade, and God really has gifted me with the ability to work with kids, but this little girl, and usually I can win kids over, usually, this little girl cried the entire time. I mean, she was just sobbing. They called me in, and I was sitting with her, and I was like, nothing. Just cried and cried and cried and cried. And usually, I mean, usually I can be the one that gets up. And I was like, I'm about to give up. And finally I looked at her and I said, do you speak Spanish? And she goes, sí. And I was like, that's the whole problem. I don't speak Spanish. And so I'm panicking, looking for somebody. I'm going to tell on Reed. So Reed, Courtney is my associate. Reed is her husband. And she goes, Reed speaks Spanish. So I call Reed and he goes, I work on a construction site. You don't want me to speak Spanish. Okay. So what we found out, I called someone who I knew spoke Spanish and she was going to come up and I said, I need you now. She comes running up and she sat down with her and she just started speaking in Spanish. This little girl just started speaking back to her. Their house had flooded in Harvey. Her birthday was that week. She didn't think she'd get a birthday party. All of a sudden, the whole reason of why she was crying just came out in Spanish. I couldn't understand to start with, but praise God, somebody could. We don't know where these kids are coming from, especially on a Sunday morning. And to be honest, schoolrooms, I'm just going to be honest, disciplining in schoolrooms is easier than disciplining in a Sunday school classroom or vacation Bible school classroom. It's easier because they know there's consequences and they know there's things you can do, and they come to Sunday school and go, all right, really nothing you can do. There's no detention. You can call my mom, but there is nothing you can do. So Sunday school makes it really hard. I had this other little girl at church one time, and she came up, and I just want to tell you this story to tell you, once you figure out where the kids are coming from, and once you figure out how to do it, it turns their life around. So I had this little girl, and she was a runner. I didn't know she was a runner. I am not a runner. If y'all didn't know by my stature, I don't run. So she was running, and praise the Lord, I've learned the football block. So I stopped her. Her mom was like, I can't leave her. Anyway, she ended up staying. She's a first grader. She ended up staying, and her mom was like, she'll be fine. Just go. And so mom finally went, and she was trying to run. I held. I sat outside the Sunday school room, the LBS room, and I taught the lesson. We sat right by the window so she could see what was going on. And I ended up teaching the lesson to her outside. I was like, look how much fun they're having in there. Come to find out, she was a foster kid. She was a foster kid who'd been through a really bad situation. I still contact her mom. They ended up moving out to, I can't remember where they live, up north somewhere. She still emails me back and she says, you remember that time? She says, you made a difference because you sat with her. I didn't know where she was coming from. And kids come on Sundays and Wednesdays with all this thing that has built up. And then they come and they put it with you. And you're like, what do I do? So what we're going to do is we're going to do a little game to start with. So who's ready for Family Feud? All right. So I need, we're going to divide the room in half. Right between Dave and Denise, y'all are one side and y'all are one side. So I need one person to say, I'll be the spokesman for my side to start with. Who wants to be the spokesman on this side? All right, Linda Baker, you're the spokesman on this side. Who wants to be the spokesman on this side? Reed. Okay, because if you don't volunteer, you know you get voluntold. So, okay, Linda and Reed. Okay, so here's what happens. I went to a conference at Etch Family Ministry Conference in Lifeway, and she really said she did the research. Now, I don't know if she actually did research or not, but she said she did, and said that this was, these were the top six behavior problems that Life Bible Study teachers or Sunday school teachers deal with, okay? So Reed and Linda, on the count of three, whoever wants to raise their hand first, I'll see if you get the number one answer, and then your team can play or pass, okay? So ready? One, two, three. Linda was first. She was fast. Okay, what's your answer? Number one.
Verbal outburst.
Okay, I'm going to call that, let's call that disruptions. That is number three. Now, Reed, do you think that you guys can get a higher answer?
Sure, yes.
And what would that answer be?
Disrespect.
And that is number one. You're right. So, do y'all want to play or pass?
Play.
All right. So, you guys be thinking of an answer because you can steal this in just a minute, okay? You can steal it. All right. So, somebody on this time besides Reed, give me another example. Who's got one? Dana, you wanted to play. You got another idea?
Not listening.
Not listening. Okay, that's close, but I'm going to give you a strike. Because I like to do a strike. That was good. That was fun. All right, what's another one?
Emotional meltdowns. Like crying.
That's really close, but... Okay. So much fun. You get one more. Look at one more. Hold on, you're on this side. Hold on, y'all keep the answer. Who else has got an idea? What did you say? What'd you say?
We can't sit still,
that is correct. We call it won't sit still. We also call it active children, people with ADHD, so that is answer number six. He's got another one. Kinesthetic learner, exactly. What else? You got another chance. You only got one strike left, though. Anybody got one?
They're distracting.
Distracting others? That's a disruption. So I'm going to go. Yeah. No, y'all have a chance to steal. Y'all got one? What do you think?
Bringing toys to church.
Okay. What else?
Is defiance already up there?
Defiance is not up there. What do y'all think? You want to go with bringing toys to church? Defiance? What do you think?
Okay.
Y'all ready?
Team, what do you want?
Toys to church.
Bringing toys to church. That is close, but it's not on there. So, you guys are the winners! Woo! Do you want to see what the other answers were?
Yeah.
Okay, are y'all hot, by the way? Is it warm in here? Okay, I'm dying. Okay, so the next one, answer number two was? Defiance. That's right, defiance. Answer number four was? Inappropriate language. And the last one is? Bullying or putting hands on others all the time. Okay, who said that? Oh, you said that. Okay, so I was like, did I miss it?
No.
These were the top six. There's obviously more, but we're going to talk a lot today about how to do this. So here's the question. What is the why behind the behavior? And we answer, I don't have a clue. What is the why? If we can get to the why of why these behaviors are happening, we can solve the issue. So we're going to go a little bit, we're going to talk a little bit about, give you a couple quotes. I think the quotes are on here, they're just not in order. And we will get to this worksheet. Y'all are like, Kim, you've got not very long, and we got 3 pages, we haven't even gotten there yet. Yes, I'm sorry. There are blue, do we have any more of the blue things? Will you, Aubrey, go run some for me really fast? How many more, how many people need a paper? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, make 5 or 6 of them, would you mind? Okay, so what is the why behind behavior? Behavior, here's the quote, and it's on there, it says this, behavior is the language of kids who have no voice. Okay, there are 3 stages, it's on your paper somewhere, there are 3 stages. If we have kids in their calm state, that gives access to their whole brain. Okay, so if you have kids in calm state, that gives access to their whole brain. If you have kids in the alert state, in other words, they're alert, not alert paying attention to you, but their senses are alert, their senses are heightened, and they're on the alert side, they only have access to a limited part of the brain, and guess which part is missing? Their prefrontal cortex, and you know what lives there? Logic. Oh, how helpful is that? So if you have kids already on the alert, kids that are like, well, he poked me, and they're already a little bit ready to get, you know, guess what? They can't get to the logic part of their brain. Guess what that means? We're in trouble. And we've got to help them get to the logic and get them calmed down so they can do it. Now, if you have kids that have gone from the alert stage to the fight or flight stage, the fear stage, they have no access to other parts of their brain. Guys, that's sometimes when we talked about meltdowns, when we get kids to get to the point, they're to that point of there is nothing we can do. So, every negative behavior can be traced back to something, and we've got to look at the why behind the behavior. So, I'm going to show you an example of this. This is amazing to me, and we'll get to the other things in a minute. This tree right here, when I heard this in the trauma competent caregiver training, it opened my eyes to so many things. So, here's the deal. We have behavior issues. We have wrong behavior issues like... we talked about disruptions, okay? So we see these kids that are just completely, their whole goal is to disrupt you, whether it be by talking or whether it be by whatever they're doing just to disrupt you. We have disrespect. We have defiance. We have all kinds of things. So Aubrey's going to pass that out. We're going to keep putting these on, and Aubrey's going to come put these on after she passes. But the one I want to talk about here... thank you. Will you do that? Thank you, Stephanie. I'm going to borrow this one. I'm going to show you an example. This one is laziness. Now, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but I'm going to throw somebody under the bus because my nephew has had an issue lately. He is a senior in high school. He is homeschooled, and he is what my sister calls extremely lazy. Okay? She's like, this kid is smart. See, I should have let you do it, Stephanie. I'll let you do it. This kid is extremely smart. He isn't turning in his papers. He does it at home, but he's not turning in his papers. And she's like, what am I going to do with this lazy kid? He's about to go to college if he makes it to college, if he passes through. What am I going to do? And so when I went through this tree thing, and I said, do you know what? I called my sister that day, and I took a picture of the tree. I said, do you know what? Every behavior, that's the fruit you're seeing. But here's what happens. If you think about a tree and the way a tree works, the tree, the fruit comes from what? From what?
From
Okay, the fruit comes from the spirit. Here's what happens. The way a tree works, a tree is planted by a river with the grass, right? Y'all like my tree and river. I didn't make it. So here's the deal. The things that nourish the tree are down here in the roots, right? These are the things that are nourishing it. And so then what happens? The nourishment comes up. And this, through the trunk of the tree, is their belief system. Okay? So their belief system then is their thoughts and their emotions. And because of what's being poured into them, they develop a belief system, and because of that, they have a fruit. So true story about my nephew, my sister and my brother-in-law are not the most encouraging people around sometimes. So every time he misses an assignment, they're like, see, I knew you couldn't turn that in. Why are you not turning that in? So guess what happens to him? He's getting fed through this river of all of these things like, well, you can't do it. You're never going to get it together. He's got this negative thing, and guess what? Now he believes about himself. He can't do it. So now because he can't do it, guess what happens?
He quit.
He quit. He started becoming lazy. He won't turn his work in. He didn't. We talked about this. He wouldn't turn his work in. He wasn't doing it because guess what? He believed he can't do it. So here's what happens. We have to feed him different nourishment. We have to give him different nourishment. And what the Bible says is we have to feed him the truth. So I told my sister, I said, we need to feed him truth. And he goes, I know, God's word, the truth. Yes, and what truth do we need to feed him? And she's like, well, that he could do it. But now I don't believe that he can because his fruit is showing he can't. So what I did is I challenged her because there was a story about a lady who was challenged anytime there was a behavior issue not to speak one word to that child except truth. So I challenged my sister. I said, speak truth to him. I just told her for 2 days. She's like, what do you mean? And I said, when he gets his work, she knows what assignments he gets or whatever, say, do you know what? God made you so smart. He gave you a gift, and I believe that you can do it. She started speaking truth to him. Do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? He's like, Aunt Kim. He called me. He's like, hey, Kim, I got a question on a paper. Could you help me with it? I said, absolutely. I know you can do it. They started feeding truth. Bible verses to him about you can do this. God has called you. You do everything you do for the glory of God. And do you know what happened? His belief system started changing. And then do you know what happened? He has changed. No, you're good. He has changed. And now he is now quoting the verse Colossians 3:23, and he's quoting and goes, you know what? I need to do my schoolwork as doing it for the Lord. Just because we change that truth down there. When you start pouring truth into them, when you start pouring God's truth into them, guess what? Things start changing. So we're going to go through these things later because those are our 6 things, but I wanted to get there. Now, I will tell you that sometimes we have wrong starting points, okay? We have wrong starting points as teachers when we're preparing. Number one, sometimes, let's just be honest, we're boring. Sometimes we are boring. And guess what? Kids, like it or not, their minds now, how do they learn a lot of times? What is it?
Technology.
They are in technology, okay? Like it or not, their brains, the way technology works, guess what? It changes every 15 to 20 seconds. Sometimes it's 7 seconds. They just change and change. So guess what's happening to their brains? That's how they're learning. And so then we come and we're like, hey, listen, we're going to read Luke 1, verses 1 through 25. Exactly. They're like, whatever. In school, when you're teaching school, I taught school for 19 years, they're like, where's the fun part of school? That's what they'd ask me. And it's like, well, fun is what you make it. They're like, I don't like that answer. But what they're used to is things that change all the time. So sometimes we have wrong starting points because we're boring. Sometimes the problem is that we aren't prepared. Melissa just talked about that. Guys, if we are not prepared, if we do not have a plan, they do. And once their plan goes into action, it is so hard to get it back. I'm just going to be honest, okay? Sometimes the reason the behavior comes is because we're not building relationships with them. You've heard it before. Kids don't know. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. people, as you study kids, you read books about kids, the number one thing is building relationships with them. If you can build a relationship with a kid that's acting out of control, guess what's going to happen? They trust you more. You build that relationship with them, and then they're going to change. So sometimes we just go and we teach, we don't build that relationship with them, and because of that, guess what? They're never going to change. They struggle with that. Last one, am I focused on the right thing? Sometimes we get so busy focusing on other things that we don't realize what we're doing. So kids have wrong starting points too. We're going to go through these real fast and get to the meat. They want attention. Kids want attention. Why? Why do you think kids want attention?
They want to know we care.
They want to know we care. What else?
They want to know they're important.
They want to know they're important. We all have that desire to feel valued. That's a God-given thing. And guess what? If they're not getting it, they're going to figure out a way to get it, aren't they? Huh, they do. All right? They want power. Sometimes they want revenge. And then assumed inadequacy. But here's the cool thing. The cool thing is the remedy for all of those four things is the gospel. In fact, we're not going to go through these, but there's a verse for every one of these things. So in attention, it's in Job, and it says, what is mankind that you make so much of them, that you give them so much attention? God does that. He gives us that attention that we need. And the remedy for power is Psalm 147. It says, where is 147? It says, he determines the number of the stars and calls them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. The gospel is the remedy for all these things. Okay? So the one for revenge is Romans 12:19. And assumed inadequacy is Psalm 139. And by the way, I can email this PowerPoint to you so you don't have to write it all down. I can't give it to you, so let me know. So here's what we need. We need ideal ways to deal with these behavior issues. Okay. IDEAL stands for immediate, direct, efficient, action-based, and leveled at the behavior, not the child. Do you know that child that always gets in trouble? That child that's always causing issues? I'm sorry, that's my blood sugar monitor telling me it's low, but it's just going to have to deal with it, and I can't turn it off. So, okay, we're good. Anyways, would you go give me a banana, Aubrey? Yeah. If you don't mind, that would be great. It's like 40 and going down, but we're good.
We're good.
Yeah. So here's what we're going to do. For each of these six behaviors, what we're going to do now, this is where this part comes in, these six behaviors. We're going to talk about there's always do's, there's always don'ts, and there's always discipleship. Moments. Okay, so the first behavior was disrespect. All right, so let's think about disrespect. If someone is being disrespectful, if a kid is consistently disrespectful, what do you think the nourishment that they're soaking up? That they're not valued? So if they're not valued, if they feel like they're not valued, guess what happens? Then they feel they're not worth it, and nobody else is worth it. So what happens?
It ends up being poured out on others.
It ends up being poured out on others.
The source of where they're getting it from, they take that, internalize it, and then it's acted upon towards everyone else.
Yes.
It's just replicated. They're mimicking what they're receiving.
Yes. Sorry about that. This is so bad. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, these are some do's, then we'll talk about don'ts and discipleship issues. This is where you're going to fill the blanks in. Okay, ready? So do's. Here's what you do if a child is disrespectful. Consistently talk about honoring others. One thing, first thing you talk about when somebody's being disrespectful, consistently talk about honoring others. And the next one is set the example. So if you see somebody being very disrespectful, you say, hey, the Bible says we need to honor others. And guess what? Then you show it. Like, oh, I really like the way Samantha is obeying. Look at Samantha. She's being so respectful, being so kind to others. And they're like, oh. So you're setting the example to the other children, and you set the example to them. Because what sometimes happens when somebody is disrespectful? We jump down their throat, don't we? We're like, that is one thing. You know, you talk about when the hairs on the back of your neck start standing up.
Yeah.
When a child is disrespectful, sometimes you feel those hairs go bing like that. You're like, oh, you are not, especially if it's to another child. That's when, as a teacher, I'd be like, look, you can disrespect me and I'll take care of it, but don't you disrespect another child. So we have to set the example by showing respect. Another thing is realize it's often unintentional. Yes.
So if a child is being disrespectful or any of these negative behaviors, is it true that it's totally inappropriate to call them out, right? To call out their name or anything. But it's also not appropriate to just ignore it.
Correct. Now, are there times when you call them out? Yes. Is it the best thing always to do? No. You have to be careful when you call them out. We'll talk about this later. You have to be careful when you call them out. However, the other kids also have to know that you are taking care of it. Okay? So if they don't think, if somebody's being disrespectful, let's just say Annie, I'm going to pick on names here. Annie's being disrespectful to
Rachel.
And she's being disrespectful. And we just kind of let it go. We take them out. We deal with it. Guess what? The rest of the kids are watching and going, wonder why nothing happened to her. But if I called out Annie in front of everybody and said, Annie, you are so disrespectful, that is inappropriate, how is that going to make her feel? Disrespected, right? So yes, we do have to deal with it, but it has to be in a way where it's in a one-on-one way where the people know it's not appropriate. Does that make sense? Basically for all of these behaviors. Now, there are times that I call out and go, you know, especially being a teacher, you've got 19 kids, 20 kids in there, and you're like, that is so inappropriate. Get up and change your color. That's what we called it, change your color. Get up and change your color. You know better than that. So sometimes you do it, but that is not your first response. Because if that is your first response, then guess what happens? They feel disrespected too. Okay?
And you're not building the relationship.
You're not building a relationship with them because they're like, okay.
You ask them to say something nice and not say that.
Sure.
Without actually calling them out, you say, you can talk to the whole class, say, boys and girls, we need to talk and say nice things and, you know, to each other.
Yeah.
Could you also perhaps say, hey, I think that calls for a do-over. Let's say that in a better way.
Absolutely you could.
So that would be calling that person out or singling that person out? Because it seems like there's a fine line between kids that are very sensitive to being singled out, even if their name's not being called out,
right,
being corrected in front of other kids. So how do you isolate them to where other kids aren't feeling like you're not taking care of the situation?
It depends on the disrespect. It depends on the environment. But I would tell you the very first thing is most of the time I pull the disrespect out separately. I say, and maybe it's not, if you're as a teacher in a classroom, you're the only one in there and it's hard. But in the Life Bible Study Room, you are never the only one in there. Never. And so that's when if Brandy is teaching in class and someone is very disrespectful, she gives the look to Kristen or Kirk and goes, hey, boys and girls, we're going to be kind to each other. And then Kristen or Kirk can go over to them and talk to them. Or you can take that child out and Kristen and Kirk can take over. It's one of the reasons you're never alone. So it's better to do it individually with that relationship with him. Sometimes you have to call it out. Because I tell you what, sometimes there's a lot of people being disrespectful. Does that make sense? In other words, is there one answer that, yes, this is the right way to do it? Depends on the situation. Dana?
So they're in their U circle and someone's teaching and they're flipping around their chairs, whatever it is someone's doing, just kind of like, that's not how, like what we try to do is that's not how we sit. Let's be respectful instead of, but if it gets to be a problem, best to call that. Is that where you're like, call them out individually?
Yes.
Kind of like as a group, say, remind them of the rules?
Yes.
Okay.
And I have walked in before to Life Bible Studies rooms and this happens and they're being very disrespectful to the teachers because they're not listening. They're just talking. And I was like, boys and girls, how do we show respect?
Yes.
I didn't call anybody out. I said, boys and girls, how do we show respect? Your leaders are here, and this is my favorite thing. I said, do you know how much I pay them to be here? And they're like, $50? I was like, less. Less? I'm like, 10? I was like, less. 3? Less? And they're like, you don't pay them? You pay them nothing? I said, they do it out of the love for Jesus and the love for you. And they're like, you should pay them. They think so too. But they do it just because. So that's different. How do we show respect? So you didn't necessarily call. It'd be different if I said, Stacy, you are being so disrespectful. That's calling her out. But if I say, boys and girls, how do we show respect? That's a different answer. Brandy, did you have a hand up?
So, because sometimes the ones you're talking to are the ones that aren't going to pay attention. So that's when you're, like, you know, there's boys that are scuffling on the floor. Or
so
they're
what,
out of their seats. Is that when you make a general statement? How do we...
Let's get back to that. Yeah.
And then somebody else has to deal with it specifically.
So we're going to come back to that because I think that might be another issue. It depends on how we define disrespect. So when we get to those...
That was more disruption.
When we get to those that are wild and active boys, we're going to get to that one. And one of them we'll get to that is, remember, they may be laying all over the floor, but they're learning. So is it disrespect? So that's where we have to define disrespect. I mean, if you expect kids to sit like you are, I mean, like y'all are showing respect, but you're adults, okay? If you expect kids to sit like this all the time when you're teaching, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because A, they're all different. B, they have different personalities. C, they're kids. And remember, attention span for kids is a minute per age level. If you're teaching 7-year-olds, they got about 7 minutes of attention span before they have to do something else, right? Yeah. Our ages are a lot older than that. Our attention spans go a little bit more. So we'll come back to that. That's a great question. Let's come back to that because I think it depends on what disrespect really is. When I think of disrespect, what I'm talking about is you are absolutely disrespectful, meaning I need you to sit. I ain't going to do that. You can't make me. Or something being very rude to somebody else, that's disrespect. Okay? So let's come back to that. Okay. So it's often intentional. Have high expectations for them, though. And you're like, wait, Kim, you just told me have high expectations, but you're saying they don't sit on the floor. Okay? I don't let everybody whirl around on the floor, but can I tell you there are some kids that are going to roll around on the floor. Lewis, I think about Lewis. He is great. There's a boy in kids' worship that will not sit in a chair. He won't. He will not sit in a chair. So Lewis hangs back with him. He gives him fidgets. He talks with them. And guess what? That kid, if you ask him at the end of kids' worship what it was about, he knows it all. But he's not going to sit in a chair. Is he showing disrespect that way? No, he can't sit that way. Now, I don't allow everybody to be rolling around on the floor. If we did that, we'd have complete chaos. But there's some that are not going to roll around. I mean, they're not going to be able to sit. I mean, you know, they can't sit. So I had kids, people like, they have to be sitting in school. I had kids that stood when they did their work. They got their work done. They need to stand. Yes.
So what do you say to the children that say, oh, well, why does he get to roll around on the floor and we can't?
So what would you say?
I had a boy in my school classroom who had ADHD. And he sat in the back. I put him in the back corner. So that he wasn't disrupting the others. But he would fold paper airplanes, and the other kids go, why does he get to do that? And I said, because when I ask a question, he always knows the answer. And besides, didn't you enjoy having quiet in the meantime? Yeah. I said, the rest of you can't seem to do that. So every one of you is different. I treat you different.
Yeah. And I think it just depends. When we get to the active things, it's different. With this disrespect, it is blatant disrespect for people. But what we tend to think of disrespect is, oh, well, they're not sitting and listening to me. Kids might not sit that same way that you think. It's not disrespect. It's just the way they are.
I wasn't implying that I was disrespectful.
I know.
I was more like jumping to idea of, can you name a student and say, Michael, you need to sit on your bottom. I mean, and you're saying that that's not okay.
It depends. If you know the kids, if you know that there's a very sensitive kid, you would never say that. But if you know the kids, you have a relationship with them, and my sister, on the other hand, if they didn't call her name. I mean, honestly, growing up, my family is completely opposite, my sister and I. All they had to tell me was, they said, Kimberly Gale, I was in tears. That was it. I mean, that was it, especially if they called me out in front of my friends. My sister, they'd say, Alicia Joylyn. She goes, what? What do you want? With her hand on her hip. So that goes back to building relationships. You got to know the kids. And yeah, it's okay to say, hey, sit on your bottom, dude. Sit on your pockets, whatever. if it's in a nice way. Reed?
One of the things I do that works fairly effectively is sometimes, like, it's at least every other year, if not every year consistently, there's a group of probably three boys. I'm in fifth grade, keep that in mind. But it's like these, for lack of a better term, I'm not trying to be ugly or anything, but the Three Stooges. They're all goofy and they mess around and they love to joke. And you know, you set the tone at the beginning of class and you say, hey, when we open God's Word, this is where I love to joke and I can be the biggest kid in the world. But when we open God's Word, this is where it's time to focus. But if, in this particular case, just this year, there were the same three boys. They like to goof off. And I would say, hey, and I did say their name. I would say, hey, John, I need you to, can you go sit with Mr. So-and-so for a couple minutes? And so he did that. And then over time, I had to do that a couple weeks in a row. And then over time, he got the message that, hey, when I sit with, then just this last week, he goes, well, I thought I wasn't allowed to sit next to so-and-so and so-and-so. And I said, well, if you can show me that when we open the Bible and you're serious about what we're looking at, you can sit wherever you want. He was like, oh, okay. And it was like this, it clicked.
Yeah.
Because he knew and had understood that the boundaries were there. That, hey, there's a time to have fun and have a blast and goof off, tell jokes and mess around with your friends. But when it gets to that Bible study time, that's where the talking amongst each other, that's why you had to go sit next to a teacher.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily calling him out or calling him disrespectful, but it made him isolate just enough to where he was still part of the group, but he wasn't.
And what the first step could have been is the teacher going to him. So you've got other people in there. So if you've got people that you see that are being disrespectful, you get one of the other teachers to go. Eye contact is the best. And, you know, they always talk about teacher eyes, and you're like.
Yeah. Some kids that work with them.
Sometimes it does. And then the next thing you do is proximity. Really close to them. Have somebody else go sit with them, and I guarantee you they're going to be a lot less disrespectful if the teacher is right by them. Okay.
I had two boys that would always sit together and then cut up the whole time. And I just said, told them, you know, said, look, I want you to make a choice. If you can't sit next to someone and behave, which is basically what Reed did, but I did it, you know, before class. If you tell them as they're coming in, remember to make a good choice about who you sit with.
Yeah.
If you can't sit next to them and listen. And let us have a lesson where God can talk to the other kids. And I've used that a lot of times too, that when they're talking, that I had an ADH boy, the boy in my third grade Sunday school class, and I took him in the other room, and I said, when you're talking and when we're trying to do the Bible work and read the Bible story, God may be talking to that person next to you, or across the room, and because you're horsing around, you're paying attention to you and not to God, and you don't want to steal God's word, do you? And he came back, and from then on, I just sort of had to remind him occasionally and just say, now's the time we're going to be talking about God's word.
Yeah.
We want God to be heard by all. And I just say that in front of everybody, and then after that. But he understood, and he would really worked hard.
And so to correct in front of everybody when you're not pointing at a single person, it's okay. But when it says, Sandy, is that, is it your name back there, Sandy? When I say, Sandy, you're being so disrespectful. That's not respectful. But boys and girls, how do we be respectful? They're going to figure that out. Okay? Let's talk about some don'ts real fast in discipleship. Don't take things too personally. When somebody disrespectful our first job, we go, oh, that kid is awful. I don't want them in my class anymore. Don't take it personally. Number two, or the next one, don't embarrass or disrespect them in turn. We kind of talked about that. When we embarrass them and we're disrespecting them, then it makes it worse for them. So here's some discipleship moments. Number one, explain the why. Why should we be respectful? Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. God says this is how we treat each other. Look, people disrespected Jesus, but guess what happened? he respected them back in turn. This is what we should do. Matthew 7:12, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know what kids say that is, right? With the golden rule? Do to others as what? As they do to you. That's what kids think it is. It's not do to others as they do to you. Explain it. Do to others as you want. Would you want somebody to disrespect you that way? But look what you did. God's word says that. So that's disrespect. Okay, let's do number two, inappropriate language. Do y'all deal with inappropriate language? Because we've had kids in church that come, especially Vacation Bible School, other places, that they say things and the rest of the kids are like, holy cow.
That he heard. I'm like, this is what you learn at church.
Yeah. So let's do this real fast. Okay. We'll go through these pretty quick, like, and get to this. Recognize that this is the culture that some kids are coming from. And I'm just going to be honest. When I say things, when I was at school and I was teaching school, saying, boys and girls, we can't say that at school. But I say it at home. I was like, does this look like home? I can't change the culture of what they do at home, but I tell you what, I can set the culture in my classroom. And, you know, the kids do know what is right and wrong. They do know most of the time what's right and what's wrong, and they're just going to see if you hold to it, okay? The next one is be clear and firm. You can just say, we don't use words like that here. Here. But I've used it for, we can't say words like that. Those are inappropriate words. Well, my mom does it all the time at home. So what you've just done is gotten yourself in trouble because you're like, well, your mom is wrong, and she's a sinner, and she's, you know. Be careful. We don't use those words here. Why? Because God doesn't like those words. It doesn't have to. Remove them from the group if it continues. You need to remove them because you don't want them coming home and saying, what'd you learn at church? Well, so-and-so said this word. What does it mean? Ask your mom. Where'd you learn that church? So don't overreact, because you know what a lot of times kids do? They just want shock factor. Yeah. They want to say a word and go, what are they going to do? You said that? They're like, oh yeah, that's just what I wanted. So don't give them the shock factor. Don't ignore it. Don't just ignore the word. We have to deal with it. Okay? And I'm so sorry. It won't be quiet. The discipleship moments are Ephesians 4:29. I love this story. This verse. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for, anybody know what it says? Building others up. So you look at me and go, did what you just say build up that person? God says our words are used to build people up. Okay? Then this one, discuss why the words aren't okay. And then this one, brainstorm alternatives. My best friend grew up in a home that was not a Christian home. She had all kinds of issues. And when she became an adult, she became a Christian. And she decided that she was going to give her heart to Jesus. She didn't know anything but cuss words. Four-letter words came out of her mouth all the time. So she realized, I love this story, she's like, I got to think of other words because I'm a Christian now and I can't say these words. So she had to go get a dictionary, and she kept a list in her pocket for years, wrote down every good four-letter word because she needed alternatives. She was saying, and she's like, oh, what do you say? So she'd write out four-letter words, kept it in her pocket, I think she said for 2 years, until those other four-letter words went away, and then she had the right words. So we could say alternatives to those words. We need to give kids alternatives, okay? Like they said in the other, Shadrach, whatever, okay? I mean, whatever. Give them alternatives to what they say. Not that I would use Shadrach, because you know how that goes. But anyway, all right, defiance. A lot of us do deal with defiance. Yes?
I hear dang and darn a lot. Is there an alternative?
I mean, yes, there is, but I will tell you, it depends on culture. So some people don't think they're wrong. Some people don't. So I think we have to be very careful how we say, oh, we can't say that word here, depending on what it is. If it is that...
What am I supposed to say? I say it at home. What am I supposed to say? So what do I say when they ask that?
Yeah. So we could say, well, we just don't say that. What would be a good alternative for dang?
Wow.
Wow. Shoot! I say it all the time. Shoot! Right? So we can give them alternatives, but we also got to realize Remember what we're focused on. We're focused on telling them about Jesus. Okay? So, yeah, we have to be careful what we say. But, yes, we have to give them alternatives for that. That's a good question. Okay, number one for defiance, build relationship. You notice that's on a lot of them. Build relationship. You've got to build relationships with them or they're going to continue to be defiant. Offer specific choices that will accomplish what you want. If they're defiant, they are kids that need choices. Now, that doesn't mean you say, hey, do you want to sit and listen or do you not want to sit and listen? Here's what you say. Hey, would you like to sit in this chair and listen to the Bible story? Would you like to sit on the floor with the other children? Guess what? Just because you gave them a choice, they're like, oh, guess who's in control again then? They think they are. But who's the one really in control? You are, because you're still getting the same response. Okay?
And you're making the choices.
You're giving them the choices.
Right? Either one, I win. So.
But we don't tell them that.
No.
We don't tell them
but
you
that's
win.
It's a head game.
It's a head game. Literally, teaching is a head game. It is. It's like you get them to do things that they don't think they want to do, and they think they're the winner in it. And you're like, I just won that battle, right? Give them choices. Thank you. That's not good. That's not good news. Okay, repeat instructions clearly and respectfully. Provide warning and then follow through. If you're going to tell them something, you have to follow through with it, okay? Am I going too fast, y'all? Good. We got to kind of run through these because Aubrey just gave me the sign. We're almost done. Okay. Don't hold a grudge. Don't set kids up to fail. Don't set them up to fail because we do a lot of times we do it. Okay. Don't threaten things that you can't follow through. I'm telling you, if you do this again, you are never coming back to this classroom. Don't do that. Okay? And then they'll show up and you're like, oh, here you are again. Okay. Don't allow them to push until they get your reaction. Okay? Because guess what? Remember that shock factor? They want it. They want your reaction. Especially with defiance. Okay? Discipleship issues. Discipleship for defiance. Opportunity for the grown-ups. Because guess what? This is what we say. You know what? When you're calling, you're talking to them, you're like, you know what? I am defiant to the Lord sometimes. Just like Melissa was talking about it. You know, there are sometimes God asks me to do something and I throw a fit and say no. But he loves me with unconditional grace and unconditional love. And he gives me a second chance. So guess what, buddy? I'm going to give you a second chance. That's much different than I'm going to get you. I had a little boy in first grade who, boy, bless his heart. I had a year this year. And we had moments. And by 8:15, I already had three kids sitting out ready to go to the principal. I hadn't even met him yet. I mean, this is a carpool. So this little boy comes in. He was so mad. We got his new box of crayons. And he looks at me and he goes, I'm not going to do my work today. 8:15, I was like, oh, Lord, we're going to have a long day. He takes all his crayons and he breaks them in half. And I looked at him and I was like, aren't you mad? It's like, I'm not mad at you. Aren't you mad at me? I broke all my crayons. I'm not mad at you. But I don't think it was the smartest thing you've ever done because you get to color with broken crayons for 9 weeks. Yeah. He looked at me and I thought, thank you, Jesus. Because my first response was, what did you do? I just put a new box of crayons on his desk. And I was like, he's like, you don't care? And he goes, I won't have to color broken crayons. I'll just tell my mama and she'll buy me new ones. So I'm going to call your mama. She's not going to buy you new ones. Mm-hmm. He's like, so for 9 weeks, he colored with broken crayons. But he was looking for me. I'm sorry. He was looking for me to respond in a way where he got mad. Okay. Show unconditional love. Even when they're defiant, show unconditional love. And that's Romans 13. It's talking about being submissive to the governing authorities. Okay. Let's get to this next one because I know we're running out of time and Aubrey's smiling at me. But okay, this one is one you deal with a lot. We put ADD, ADHD, ADD, hyperactive, kids that don't sit still, kids that are spinning, kids that aren't listening, you know, those that you have. Do y'all have any others in your classroom? Anybody got those kids? Okay, we all have them. Okay, number one, provide a fidget toy. Give them a fidget toy. Some of you have been playing with a fidget the whole time. It's okay. It is a good thing because, you know what? Some kids need that stimulation. So give them a fidget toy. We have fidget toys that we've bought and we're buying more Just say, you got a kid that needs a fidget toy? Give him a fidget toy. We pick ones that don't make noise, obviously. Okay? Next one, talk to parents and learn what works. Do you know these kids that are hyperactive? Do you know their parents hear it all the time? They pick them up from school, and they come, and you're like, hey, can I talk to you about something? You know what the parents are like? Oh, shoot. What happened? What'd he do? They're expecting it, so they're kind of like, come on, come on, Johnny. And don't make contact with eyes. Because guess what? They know what's going to happen.
Totally.
So you ask them, say, I call them and say, hey, listen, I need your help. We want Johnny here. We want to help teach him what works at home. And sometimes the answer is like, we don't have any problems at home. Really? Well, what works at home? They're like, well, this is what we do. I have to set a timer before the end of an activity. That's great to know. So before the end of the thing, hey, you got a timer. You got 2 minutes, Johnny. Get their opinion. Know what works. Okay. Another thing is make sure the lessons are active and varied. My friends, if you have children that are active, they need active games and they need varied games. Can't do the same thing for every child. Remember, there's all kinds of learning styles. If you don't vary how you do it, you're going to lose them. Okay? Remember, this is the one. Remember, they're learning even if it doesn't look like it. Ask them at the end, say, hey, what did we learn today? If they answer Jesus, they probably weren't listening. They just say Jesus. But if they can tell you what the lesson was about, and if they were still flipping that pencil or sitting there, guess what? They learned. And what is really your goal?
Learn.
To get them to learn. Okay? Don't do these things. Don't label kids. Don't come to somebody else and go, hey, I think this kid has ADHD. What can I do about it? Don't label them, okay? A lot of times, I will tell you, a lot of times kids that are on medicine for ADHD, their parents on the weekend take them off the medicine, sometimes for good reasons, because they develop tics, they develop, and so what we need to go is, it's okay, and never say to a child, did you have your medicine this morning? I've done that in the classroom. The kid was crazy. I was like, oh, that was so wrong. And so finally he's like, the next time he was misbehaving, he goes, I didn't have my medicine. And I said, but guess what? That doesn't mean anything because you can still control it. The medicine helps you control it better. But because guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit and he can help you. He's like, oh, darn it. Okay? Don't expect constant verbal correction to work. If a kid is out of control and you just go, hey, Johnny, sit. Johnny, don't. Johnny. Constant verbal won't. Don't draw attention to the child and don't shame the child. Okay? Here's discipleship issues for ADHD. Minister to their low self-esteem. Those kids that are in trouble in your life Bible study, guess what? They're the ones that are in trouble all the time. Okay? Remind them that God has gifted them uniquely and help them figure out how. Kids that are struggling, they're like, I don't think God made me special at all. He did. And then Psalm 139 says he knows how he made them. Okay? Now, we've got 4 minutes. Can you do one more? No, we don't have 4 minutes. It's 11:16. We don't have 4 minutes. It's time to go. I tell you what. Y'all, you guys were good. And you were very, like, talking in class, which was good talking. It wasn't bad talking. But did you sign in your emails there? I can send you the rest of this PowerPoint. Okay? I'm sorry that we ran out. I'm sorry I had a little blood sugar. I hope this helped a little bit. Don't forget that when you pour truth into them, that's the discipleship part. When you're pouring the truth into them, their fruit is going to change and they'll change to the other things. Okay? But I've got your emails and I will send you the rest of PowerPoint and then you can, I guess PowerPoint's good. Okay. All right. Y'all head down to go get some cinnamon rolls.
Yes.
So then you go to your teaching.
You can practice different things.
say Spaniards can use the word whatever game.
I would probably just, I don't know, like these.
And then I would say, okay, what's this one?